Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Forest Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, along with Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, Elise King, we'll be discussing episodes 10 and 11 from season 3 of The Bad Batch. I will also be taking a look at the new trailer for the animated show Tales of the Empire. Now, before we get started, I'm inviting you to support Forest Ghost Conversations on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Also, please be sure to check out our TeePublic store to buy some Forest Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Forest Ghost Conversations. All right, everyone, we are back. It is time for all the news that's taking place over the galaxy of Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Indiana Jones, Willow, anything under that heading that we can think of over the past week that has transpired. And, you know, it was a pretty light, you know, day of everything up until the time of recording this, because the day that we've recorded this on Thursday, April 4th, exactly a month out from May 4th, we only had one news item. And then, of course, today we got a whole new poster and trailer. We're going to get all of that for Cloud City Gossip, but there's going to be some more. This is an expanded section of this show today. We've got, of course, the Bad Batch conversation with Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, talking about episodes 10 and 11 of that incredible series. And we also have a trailer discussion coming up just in a few seconds here. So what is the trailer that we're going to be talking about? Well, let's get into Cloud City Gossip right here, right now. So a new trailer and poster have been released for the animated series Tales of the Empire. Now, you may recall Tales of the Jedi, which came out a few years ago. This is kind of season two of that, but it looks like they're going this more anthology route, or anthology-esque route, where it's going to be focusing more specifically on characters that are within the Empire in this series, particularly two characters, and we're going to get to that in the discussion of the trailer itself. So all the episodes will premiere on Disney Plus on May 4th. And again, we'll be doing a trailer segment after this portion of our show, Cloud City Gossip. So be on the lookout for that. And we'll do the same thing we usually do, where I give you some time to pull up the episode. And we'll watch it together and then share some brief thoughts and reactions to it. And then we'll have our Bad Batch discussion, of course, too, on the other side of that break then. So additionally, the other news item that I had compiled is that the music from Kevin Kiner and family for episodes 1 through 8 of Bad Batch Season 3, the final season, is now available. I listened to it today, and it is a beautiful example of the incredible work, detail, and passion as being put into this series to make this final season some of the most epic Star Wars storytelling that there is. I hope that you're able to go check it out on your streaming platforms today, tomorrow, at some point in the future. It was such an enjoyable listen. It's 2 hours of great Bad Batch music. Recurring themes come back, new themes come back. I love some of that dystopian synth route that they're going for a lot of this work here in this season. It's working for me. I hope it's working for you too. So that's all the news that I'd compiled, but let's get into this trailer here. Of course, pull it up on your YouTubes, any place that has videos of some sort that they showcase stuff. I've just searched Tales of the Empire trailer, and I got it on Star Wars from their channel, Tales of the Empire official trailer, Disney Plus. If you want to pull up that same thing or something else, great. So what we're going to do is I'm going to hit play here in just a few seconds. I'm going to react to the trailer live as it's playing. You won't hear the audio, just hear me talking about it as I go through it here. And then we'll just have some conversation about it afterwards. But if you want to pull it up, pause this episode now, pull up the video, and then come back to this point, hit play, and hit play the same time I do. Or if not, then by all means, we're going to move forward here then. So in 5 seconds, we're going to start this trailer. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit play. I love the new animation style that they've done for Thrawn in this. That's really excellent. So it looks like Morgan Elsbeth is going to showcase here her story about how she got into the Empire here, and the scourge of Dathomir that you see in the Maul comic series. I'm blanking on the exact name of it here. and how she kind of got in league with Thrawn here. I'm going to be very intrigued about the exact why of all that. Like Paris Coffee, also, we're going to be getting some answers on to why and where she's been since the trial of Ahsoka that led to her leaving the Order. It looks like she's been in jail cell ever since then. And we're going to see basically this journey of Morgan Elsbeth, it looks like. We're going to have very similar journeys to what we saw in previous Tales of the Jedi in the season before. Grand Inquisitor is back. It looks like Jason Isaacs is also revoicing the character again. And again, we're getting confirmation to just be this trailer alone that Paris Offee became a Inquisitor. So we're going to see the training of how one becomes an Inquisitor throughout this. We got a little bit of that in the Vader comic series by Charles Soule. That's going to be delved into even a bit further here. Definitely showcasing Grievous here is going to be awesome, and it almost confirms, in my opinion, what the story is going to take place at the beginning for her here, is that it's going to showcase that Maul comic series is canon to Star Wars. That was one of the few things that was brought over, because it was a part of a Clone Wars arc that wasn't finished in time, or wasn't released. I don't know the full details of it, but then they released it as a comic, kind of similar to what they did with Dark Disciples. Love Vader being included in this series again, maybe probably just for this brief moment. One of my favorite things in this trailer is seeing Offee kneel down first, right? She's respectful of Vader. Maybe she even honors Vader. Long live the Empire. Great way to end. I love how it burns out, too. It's similar to what they did for the Bad Batch, going into, going from Clone Wars, and then it burned out and just went straight into the Bad Batch as the new episode title. But whew, that was an incredible trailer, folks. 2 minutes, but so much was packed into. And that's why I really like these Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire series. It's because they do this short form animated content, right? You may recall Tales of the Jedi was only like 15 to 20 minute episodes for each six of them, 3 for Dooku and 3 for Ahsoka. But it really makes you can't, there's no dead time. Everything's important. Everything's got to have a meaningful purpose, an action item, something that leads into something else. Reveals aren't held for a grand timing later on or something like that, right? No, this is straight balls to the wall, important storytelling. And I also really appreciate that they have the guts to continue to amplify these incredible stories that are being showcased here, right? Like, it's been over, what, it was 2011, 2012, I think it was the last time we saw Barriss Offee in season 5 of The Clone Wars, I think. So 12 years since that point. I know people have been begging for this question for all this time. Where has she been? What is she doing? Is she an Inquisitor? And this evidently now is the right time to tell that story. And obviously that is an answer. Yes, she did become an Inquisitor. She does become an Inquisitor. And the question will be, what happens to her after this? Where does she go? Do we see a conclusion to her story? Is there opportunity for more storytelling? We obviously haven't seen her in anything since then. So she's not in Kenobi. She's not in Star Wars Rebels. She's not in the Jedi Survivor or Fallen Order video games. So I'm very intrigued to see what her story just in general entails. I'm also very fascinated to see just the Inquisitor training itself, right? We saw what's that, the fourth sister from Kenobi, I think. There's that other Inquisitor, the second brother, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, that we saw from the Ahsoka Tales of the Jedi as well. So great to see Vader again. I want to highlight that. I do like that she's the first one to kneel for Vader, right? She recognizes the reverence, the importance of this character, and her place in all this. Really appreciated all that detail and the fine print of it all. Morgan Elsbeth, again, a very wonderful character. I was sad to see her go the way she did in Ahsoka. Personally, I was excited to see perhaps where this character could go here as we learn more and more about her and her Night Sister lineage. But we're actually going to get that in this series here. So just because one door closes doesn't mean another one doesn't open. So if you'd have told me if they were doing a Tales of the Empire, right? If you told me Tales of the Empire And you told me that Morgan Elsbeth would be basically the character, in a way, resurrected for this to share more stories about her. I would have said, wouldn't have been on my list if you'd have, like, said, oh, who are the two people you think they're going to feature in this series? I wouldn't have even thought that she would be in a possible here, but this is the one that makes the most sense when you think about it, right? This is a person that, these are two people that choose to be a part of the Empire, even from its earliest days. So we're just going to go along this journey with them. And obviously we're going to even get to part of the New Republic too, with Morgan Elsbeth, as we see that place where she's at in The Mandalorian Season 2, where we are introduced to Ahsoka in live action for the first time. Whew. And of course, Grievous is back. Thrawn is back. Again, that new animation style for Thrawn looks really excellent. He's going to be very intriguing to see where he is in this point, to see how it lines up with the various canon that exists for the character at this point, too. Can't wait for this haul. And this reminds me too that I need to get on a Tales of the Jedi conversation here for Force Ghost Conversations too, which I know Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations wants to be a part of. So we got a lot coming here for the podcast over the next couple of weeks, so you better stay tuned. And of course, we have a lot more on the way in terms of Bad Batch discussions too, especially within this episode of the podcast alone. So on the other side of this short break, we'll be back with Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations and I's conversation about episodes 10 and 11 from The Bad Batch Season 3. Stay tuned. Hey everybody, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations. Wow, did we have a double dose of Bad Batch goodness, badness, sadness? It's kind of all in there in the same episode. And of course, you know, we have Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations here to break it all down. Elise King, how are you doing today? Doesn't look like you're thrilled to talk about these episodes compared to, like, the one where the alligators were fighting.
Everything we thought came true.
Whoa, hold on.
Pabu was
spared. they didn't rain hellfire. It still exists. Pabu is alive and well. It's not well, but it's alive. It fights another day.
Okay.
I'll take the small win that it is, where my brain was like, oh, just use the Star Destroyer that you have up in the clouds to just blow it all up.
Yeah, but what was the cost?
We'll get into all that. What was the cost? Yeah, that's a very good question. So we're here, of course, to break down episodes 10 and 11 of Season 3, the final season of The Bad Batch, titled Identity Crisis and Point of No Return. Spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't seen either of these episodes. And also just a side note, I hope you're enjoying the new microphone setup in here. I'm really, really glad to hear, or I'm excited to hear how this episode sounds. So give us some feedback via a Apple Podcast review. We'd love that. Thank you. Anywho, let's start with episode 10, Elise, Identity Crisis. And this is very much an exposition episode. We got a lot of answers that we've been looking for about what Necromancer is, what it isn't, what they're doing there on Tantus. What was your first, after watching the episode, let's just say, what feelings were going on in your brain as you watched everything unfold?
Star Wars gets too real sometimes. I mean, it's gotten, like, as storytelling has progressed throughout the years, it's gotten more and more real for, like, an imaginary world. But dang, just, like, having to sit in the reality of the Empire experimenting, kidnapping, and keeping children, just, like, I don't even have children, and it just gutted me.
Well, you're human.
I am.
You're a human. You're allowed to have empathy for other humans.
Yeah, but like, I think about, you know, I think about Revenge of the Sith and Anakin killing those kids. Mm-hmm. And he was so hot that I was willing to look past and forget.
Yeah.
But this show, as an animated series, I think is powerful because it makes you sit in it for a whole 30 minutes. And I just...
Yes.
It just, I was sad. I'm not going to lie. I was just sad the whole time.
You see that cute little bunny type alien creature
getting the cuddly, taken. Those freaking creators knew what they were doing. The most cuddly, easily turned into a plush version of a species. so sad. Their parent is on the floor and I'm just like, ugh, they're stunning kids and then putting them in solitary confinement. I was just like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm sad. This is not an escape from daily life. This is hard to watch.
Yeah.
So it means it was good at what it wanted to do.
Yeah. So for the exposition part of this whole thing, Emery Carr kind of volunteers or voluntolds herself to become the new chief scientist. And
how much did you think you were going to see in those pods? Those like
a lot. I thought I was going to see a lot of what I didn't see in this episode.
I heard you hold your breath a couple of times.
Like, we're going to see something. And then it's like, oh, it's just a room full of kids.
I was like, no, it's a room full of kids.
I thought we were going to see like mini Snokes walking around. Just like, what am I doing? I thought we'd just see like the worst of the worst of like scientific experiments just coming to
existence. We did.
No, I mean, we saw the worst of what humanity is, but not like the actual like byproduct of science, monster. Right? We didn't see the monster. We saw the monster at work.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is the Empire, which is terrifying in a different sect. But this, you know, I was expecting them to open up the many gates to then see not just four sensitive kids in there with high midichlorian counts. So like we learn that these kids have been taken again because of their high M count and they're using them for the blood transfer from.
Yeah. Can you remind me what they said about transfer?
Yeah. So basically what they were trying to determine is that the M count from like the emperor, right? They couldn't clone somebody from host A to B and replicate that midichlorian count in them.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be as powerful or even powerful at all.
Correct.
He would just be
It would just be what Ray's parents are, Ray's dad is.
Yeah.
So a forceless nobody.
Yeah. In a way.
So with that, that was why they needed Omega's blood, because her blood mixed with that blood, the binded blood, can then lead to somebody replicating the M count in a new sample.
Yeah, like her blood was compatible and could therefore help the midichlorians transfer.
Yes.
It's a carrier agent.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't have to do with, is she a Jedi or not? Is she high in M?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't absolutely have anything to do with that.
It just means she has whatever she needs to.
It's just she is the binding X factor to make it happen. So that is her importance. That's why Omega is being hunted after. That's why she is being the person that the Empire is project enemy number one. So, you know, I'm just really intrigued to learn more about the science of it all.
Relieved.
I'm glad that we got like, first off, I'm glad that we got like an exposition dump and they just didn't like punt it to another episode again. I'm like, finally we got to a point where we're like, this is it, right? They did that so many times this season. We're like, she's important, she's the key, scene cuts, swipes away to something else, right? Or like, she's the key to all of this, she's the key to Necro, like she just kept saying stuff like that and beating around the bush and before actually like explaining what it is. Like, is she the one? We knew it was something with blood and M count. We're like, is she force sensitive? Is she not force sensitive? Is that why she can? I think I heard at the beginning like successful M count transfer in that episode one or two or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, okay, that's why in my head originally I was like, I don't even think she's force sensitive because she just was able to transfer M count through her. That's kind of where I always thought.
I was kind of relieved it wasn't like she has the highest M count we've seen.
Yeah, we don't need any like extra Anakin type people on top of all that.
Yeah, it so made me nice wonder though, then what was the point?
What was the point of
the previous episode? Is she a Jedi? Is she not? And then being.
Oh, I mean, that's a fair question. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of questions too about just the whole.
And then, like, Ventress not giving a. I think the whole thing would have made more sense if at the end she'd given a definitive answer to Hunter and Wrecker and Crosshair.
Yeah, but like, she doesn't have a high M count. It's not because of that they're coming after her.
But it was like, she's never, I mean, I guess the whole point is like telling them they'll never be safe to get them like
regardless start it moving. Doesn't matter if she is or not, they're still coming after her.
Yeah, maybe that was the point of being opaque, is like it doesn't matter if she is or not, they mm-hmm. are coming. But that whole like hint of someone needs to train her, like that's mm-hmm. kind of falls flat a little bit.
Yeah I agree with you on that front too. It's like it's just a little confusing and muddling how that whole process was handled. I know Ventress walks in riddles basically,
but, yeah,
you know, sometimes straightforward is the best way.
That was the first time in an episode of the season after the next one comes out where I was like, that episode is now more confusing.
You're a little contradicting. You're like, what was the point of that? Yeah.
I was like, no minute of this show has been wasted. And if their whole purpose was just to introduce Ventress again and have a fun crossover, then great. That's what it was. So, but if it was trying to like create another level of storytelling, I think they missed the mark a little bit. Cause I'm like, I give a lot of leeway, but it's still confusing to me.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think that's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I don't have answers on this one. And they weren't really clear about it at all. And, you know, it's still
not glaring enough where I'm like, oh,
it ruins the entire season. Yeah. And the journey that we've been on this front.
It's just more like you did last week. Huh.
Yeah. Like, It kind of makes you wonder, like, do I go back and revisit that episode as often? I don't know. Would it have the same impact?
If you just want to see that weird animation style for the fighting.
Stop motion fight sequence. Yeah, absolutely. So I think this episode is titled Identity Crisis. And Emery Carr is at the center of this thing. And she's the one that's making connections kind of with these kids, even though she's told not to. She's told to treat them like science experiments.
Which is impossible because they are children and you have to interact with them on some level.
What do you think the identity crisis is having on her?
Is she a loyal scientist who follows Dr. Hemlock as she always has? Is she finally disagreeing with the Empire for the first time in her entire life?
Mm-hmm.
Is she seeing herself in these children? She kind of hinted like, I was alone like they are. You know, she said something.
Yeah, I was in a lab once too something like that.
So it makes me more and more curious about her relationship with Dr. Hemlock. Like, when did they get because it seems like they've been together a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he doesn't hesitate to give her the lab.
Yeah.
Speaks to a level of trust, or at least control he thinks he has.
I think
over
he definitely
her.
Has control. I don't know if anything is trust in the Empire. No trust at all.
No, it's control. But so I think it's like her questioning her role in the Empire, disagreeing for the first time, seeing herself in a way that's not a scientist, but a human. So I don't know. There's a few things. Did you have anything specific?
Well, I yes, ending all that. I think this is setting up, you know, we're going to get to part two here, No Point of No Return, in a little bit. To spoil that ending a while, Omega is going to Tantus with no
help
at all. There's no comm link, there's no tracking, right? They don't know where Tantus is exactly. It's hidden out there in the vast universe. There's no way to find her. Doesn't matter how, I mean, time's of the essence now. They don't have months like they did before trying to track her and Crosshair down like they did. Is this the foundation of her
helping Omega?
Helping out,
yes,
Omega.
100%.
I think that's exactly where
it's
they're
going.
It's a
crack in the armor.
Yep. This is them setting that up, whether intentionally or unintentionally, probably intentionally, to then lead to her betrayal of the Empire.
Because it's not just seeing kids, it's going to be soon actually seeing herself.
Seeing herself again in the situation. Yeah. And who knows what, like, she had a bit more control back in the day, once upon a time, over the treatment of Omega, right? When they didn't know how important she was and she was just a pawn to keep Nalase in check.
Yeah.
Now they realize that she is like literally the top scientific experiment of the time that this existed, and she's the key to unlocking secrets unknown.
I know. I think Omega did the choice.
Like, who
that
knows
she
what
was...
she's gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting because I was like, Omega did the choice that made the most sense and also helped the most people, and she can't be in charge of the Empire's actions. But I also was like, having a clone of Palpatine is the worst evil here.
Yep.
But
it's happening. It's going to happen.
She's helping that along. Yep. But it's just what it is. She doesn't know what she's doing.
She's a pawn in a system like all the other clones.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the chink in the armor. It's how she's going to, at least the clones are going to, I think she's going to get a message out at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Something. Very least whatever Crosshair got out too, right? Something to that degree.
I know we're going to talk about the episode, but that scene, I just thought of the next episode and I was like, that's going to be a hard conversation.
Well, we'll get there in a little bit because I still have some thoughts on this episode I want to run by you. Cad Bane return. We got a little bit of Cad Bane in this episode.
I know anyone who's like, oh, he's a bad guy, but he's a cool, good bad. You know, like, he's a good bad guy.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. He straddles the line, some would say. Like, no he doesn't. He doesn't straddle any line.
He kidnaps children.
He's paid.
Yeah. He kidnaps children. He does not have moral boundaries. He does what he does.
Yeah. We like bad guys sometimes.
Yeah, we like. I didn't like him this episode. The cool factor really decreased for me when he.
And he tried to kidnap Omega before, too. Like, he's not above any of this stuff.
No. So, but yeah, you love Cad Bane.
Love Cad Bane. And I will say, I had a lot of just, I had to, in the time that we've watched this episode, I've had to actually like do some internal thinking and processing about this episode.
Why? And
what I mean by that is it's so interesting that concurrently, this project is so secretive, right? That we saw the Tarkin conversation. Tarkin's like, what are you doing with all this money? And you're asking for more resources? What are you?
Oh, we my don't gosh, even know. I wanted to bring that up. Thank you for reminding me. I can't believe Tarkin doesn't know
Tarkin's
what this is.
Yeah, Tarkin's out of the know on this matter. And he knows everything. He knows Stardust. He knows what Thrawn's doing. He knows all these different projects. Like, he's literally under Vader. He's number three right there. And you gotta ask questions. It's Vader. And that's where I'm gonna get to in a second here. But yeah.
That blew my mind that, like, he...
Yeah, Tarkin, who literally, like, I imagine that man falls asleep reading budget. You know, he's reading code,
you know,
and budget.
It made me a little happy he doesn't know, because how, what a thorn in his side that there is a huge money hungry secret that he does not know about.
That is like the Emperor's secret pet project.
Yeah.
And like that must drive him up a wall.
Ugh, it made me happy that he's so pissed about it.
Yeah, I think that's a good catch. That he would be like, oh, I gotta talk to Hemlock. My guy, what's he doing?
Yeah, try and like strong arm Hemlock into saying something.
Send him a team. Like he has to go out. He can't like use fear and all that, his other tactics to get the information out of them, because he knows that this is such a personal thing for the Emperor. He can't use those other power motive tactics on that front.
No, so he has to be wily.
He has to kind of be like buddy buddy. He's like, oh well, call me if you need anything. Do you need help? Do you need help? Like he's trying.
Well, that point he was like, you better use the money well or you're going to go down.
Oh, Hemlock, do you need a partner on this project? I'll come in there. I'll put my name as a signatory on this bill.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice to see him doing some hand and foot dancing around the situation.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting to hear that he didn't know. I thought that was great insight into the politics.
It was. It was. And just an understanding of, wow, this is such a secretive thing.
You know what? I really want an episode where we get a scene of the Emperor, Tarkin and Vader talking all together, because what a bunch of grumps.
Well, you get that in a couple books. If you really want a good one where you get like them plus Thrawn and Krennic, you can talk about a bunch of grumps in a room. Thrawn Treason, the final book in the original Thrawn trilogy of this new canon,
the worst bureaucratic circle there ever
was. Has them all
there,
and it explains where Thrawn is for a couple episodes in Rebels season 4 when he doesn't, it's non-existent, because he is called back to Coruscant to investigate some mishaps, and you get all of them in a room there, and their inner dialogues with each other. It's I think it's really well done. So for fans and for you, if you want more of those grumps like you're asking for, there you go. There's that.
Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying something about Cad Bane, and then...
But yeah, it's fascinating, the paradox of this, right? The Inquisitors and Vader are literally tasked with hunting down and killing every Force user. Anybody that exhibits the Force, they are called in to take out. Whereas then there's like this subset, and it shows you how, like, this is the reason why they're using bounty hunters. It's because Hemlock can then pay them discreetly. They don't talk about it with anybody else. They capture those kids before an Inquisitor gets there. And then they shove them in this tank where they're locked away under lock and key in this secret planet. Like, this is happening concurrently. So for the paradox of Palpatine to be like, kill every threat to the Empire, every Force user is a threat to the Empire that isn't using the dark side, or, you know, isn't a part of our inner circle of Inquisitors and Vader, right? If I don't approve of this line, they're bad. But I need some of them to ensure my lineage, my so I live forever. Like, he's this internal turmoil. I can just imagine as Chief Palpatine to be like, must kill them all, but also must live forever.
Yeah, I don't see it as turmoil. I see it as like, I have complete control over all of them, whether it's through death or through captivity.
That's a good point. I didn't see it that way, but I just am like, ooh, I wonder how he's taking this.
It's a good reminder, especially with how young the latest captive is like, the Force is all about balance, meaning like, okay, we're getting Rey's story, we're getting Kylo Ren's story, we're getting all these people, but like, there are a lot of Force users out there.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has midichlorians. Again, it's just some have more natural talent to use it than others. And
like, in the years after this, it's not like people who are Force sensitive are stopped
being as much born. As they want, and then that's why they just go around killing kids. You exhibit it, you know, you hope you don't, like, at a birthday party go like, ooh, I lift the balloons.
Yeah.
And then some guy, like they showed in the episode, I liked, because that's basically how it was when they saw a kid do something extraordinary. Then they go and be like, hey, I saw some. And then usually an Inquisitor comes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
And then, case in point, Wolf does that. And and then Rebels there. Exactly. He follows the exact protocol that you're supposed to do when you see something like that. Yeah, that was a big paradox. I thought that was
You really thought there. I was just sad. So I'm glad you had deeper thoughts.
I was
that.
Like, how can this both exist, right? How can Vader just let this go? And I was like, Vader doesn't probably know.
No.
Vader doesn't know. It's probably Hemlock at this point in time. It's probably Hemlock and Palpatine and those select scientists that are working on this right now.
That Palpatine for sure is like, I will burn to a crisp.
Yep. Every one of those will, as soon as the formula is achieved and locked away until needed, this is done. You are all done. Good night. Good night. Good night.
It really is interesting. I think it's just a good reminder that, like, for every hand you see of the Emperor, there's at least three in the back and hidden in shadows that you don't see.
Yeah. So dark side of them to be so manipulative and secret, keeping all these things from each other. Like, it is the way of the Sith to
no trust,
have no trust at all. Like, it is empire-ish, it is dark side-ish, it is absolutely everything that fits them to a T. I did have to sit, because I'm sitting there in the episode, I'm like, why is it an Inquisitor just coming and taking, like,
wild. I didn't even think about that.
So I think we've talked all that we can about this episode, but it's not like we have an even easier episode on the other side of this one to talk about, of Point of No Return. What were your? I know we've kind of spoiled the ending here, so we know where we're going as a point part of this episode. But this was kind of the one that we have been like, just rip the Band-Aid off already. We know something's going to happen here. They're going to be found. Ventress hinted at it in last week's episode. If nothing else, that was what she hinted at. That the most and the importance of last week's episode was to hint at they're not safe, and that's why they're trying to get off in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
But where were your immediate thoughts after watching this episode, or even during the episode? What was the roller coaster that I imagine you went on internally?
Oh my gosh. As soon as Wrecker got hurt and he didn't move for a minute, I was like, don't you dare do this to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
I was like, I will revolt. I will have to go on a hiatus. I will need rest, recovery, all that. And so that was a roller coaster moment. I waited for AZ to be like, he's okay.
Yeah, he's just in a coma.
No, he was just unconscious.
He's unconscious.
Not in a coma.
Coma-esque.
He's fine. He's just going to wake up in a couple hours.
So. The biggest headache ever.
That was a bummer. Another emotional low was Omega giving Tex glasses and Lula to the island for safekeeping. just emotional gut punch. I was like, oh, she's growing up. She doesn't feel the need for it anymore, mm-hmm. for Lula. Oh, Tech. Like, the last time he was happy, it was on mm-hmm. this island. Mm-hmm. Like, oh. And then the third emotional low was, I could just imagine the inner turmoil Crosshair had letting her go and then not miss and then missing the ship because yeah. he was too late.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that emotional devastation, because he obviously really cares for her.
Yeah.
And like, I know it's what she wanted, but as like a caretaker, I can imagine that was just so heartbreaking. And then he didn't do it and he already feels like a failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was already doubting himself to begin with, and then just to add that on top of it, like,
and it wasn't even because he missed; it was just because he was fighting and
circumstance
that
he got. He got all the guys that were. He didn't miss them, right?
No.
I will say I didn't. I'm glad that what my like, you know how sometimes in your brain you start to autocorrect, like the episode.
Yeah.
Like you start imagining where it's going two yeah. steps from where. I don't know why we do that. Maybe just to protect ourselves to like
yeah,
make it any less
coming.
Easier. But I was like, is he gonna just like, was one of those guys gonna just like come up and get him while they're like they were hit, and then they just like can somehow pick up an arm and shoot back or something like that as he gets his shot off? And it's like, is that the end of Crosshair, is him doing this last act to get the tracking on it,
and then he was killed.
And then that's how he goes. But in a way, I'm glad that that wasn't, obviously I'm glad that wasn't the case, because I want both of them to be alive. I was like, oh, please don't do this to me.
I was thinking, like, that conversation between Hunter and Crosshair, I don't know if they're gonna put it on camera on screen, but that would be an ugly conversation.
I mean,
that would be Hunter,
it's very possible next week
losing it.
Yeah I gotta say that Shadow Droid was not Shadow Droid, but that Shadow Trooper, the CX-2, the one that we think might be Tech.
You know, I was thinking about it more and more, and his voice and his like build really seems like Crosshair to me. Mm-hmm. I know there's like a voice mm-hmm. modifier, but there's still the tone is still like very much Crosshair in my mind
for the Shadow Trooper.
Yeah, so I was like, is he a Crosshair clone, like something?
And in a way too, it's just mimicking what Crosshair could have been.
Right, yeah, it's the shadow self.
For the Empire.
It's the shadow self. So I was like, his voice is sounding more and more like Crosshair. I don't know why.
Well, I'm going to tell you, to our tech theory, someone really went deep in this about it and why it is him.
Who?
I don't remember who, so I can't credit the person on Twitter, but they went on like a long thread
okay.
as to why.
Did they convince you?
Well, look, it's hidden details that are there.
Like what?
Like him. So they find the coordinates via Fee ship, right? That's how they connect.
Yeah.
It. And just like, he does like just some looks. Like, it's almost like his brain is like instinctively being like, ooh, Fee.
When did he? No, he was looking at her so he didn't get caught.
Yeah, but he does some like double backs.
I would have to rewatch
it. So yeah, on a rewatch, maybe it was one of those things where just like it connects in there. And there are just some other things too of like knowing on Pabu where to go and stuff like that. It's like knowing the scenery without
like
actually being there and the terrain and all that. Yeah.
Oh, I took that because he like, when they pulled up the map from Fee, they had like multiple locations marked, and he picked the one that was closest.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe some in the back of the head was like, I kind of have a faint memory they couldn't get out.
Yeah, I don't know. That's wild.
Anywho, they keep lingering on this character, so who knows?
Yeah, he's not important.
he's kind of a part of the thing.
He's either someone who comes back from the dead, he's going to kill someone important, or he's both.
Equal.
Yeah.
But he's ruthless in this episode. Let's just say, like, it's, you know, kids show, right? Again, we say that all the time. But this man literally sees... he assumes that Hunter is compromising. He doesn't actually see that Hunter, but he sees a ship going haywire in Mayday. And
kills
instead,
the pilot.
He just takes out the pilot. He's like, collateral damage. They can't use the ship if it can't fly it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he dies too in the process. Maybe it's a 2-for-1, but they ain't getting off this planet. I'm destroying the docks. I'll destroy every means of way that they can get out.
And that's the only way Omega was going to be captured, is if Hunter was out, Wrecker was out.
And Crosshair is neutralized.
Yep.
So it was really the Empire striking back and succeeding.
Yeah. But thank goodness, like, the whole village
didn't burn. Yes, the village wasn't, like, murdered. Left to dust and ruin. Like, we saw some people being evicted from their homes and, you know, the terror and torture they were put under. But thankfully, no one was, like, there weren't just, like, mobbing squads just, like, taking out people. Yeah, exactly. The Andor, this would have been a different instance.
This would have been death. Period.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking of, like, you know, we've seen a couple times them just, like, raining hellfire from the Star Destroyer
Star Destroyer
I saw the one above, and I thought, yep, there it is. It's happening. Like,
we've been waiting for this for 2 seasons.
Rip the bandit off. Good night, AZ. Goodbye, my friend. Gosh. Stop showing him to remind me he's there, and then only to use that to effectively take him out.
They had self-restraint. I mean, who knows what happens after Omega's captured, but if they, like, keep it occupied or leave it, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of her choice?
I mean, it was the right one to make. I mean, what were they going to do?
How are they going to get off?
How are they going to get off the planet if they destroy everyone here that puts Pabu at more of a risk? Right. Yeah. Then they're definitely coming back with more and just obliterating it to dust after they get Omega. Like, it's just, it's an endless cycle. Unfortunately, now they've been caught. And we've talked on this show and especially this season about the journey of Omega. And we talked about this from the last episode and this episode already, where it's like, is she force sensitive? Is she not force sensitive? It doesn't really matter at this point. It
doesn't matter. She's freaking brave.
We know the importance that she is. But this, we talk about, like, the purpose of this podcast is to have deep discussions about the themes of Star Wars. And one of those is really being like, what can we take from this to be in our everyday lives? And really what Omega did in this moment, whether she is Force sensitive or not, doesn't matter. She did probably one of the most Jedi things ever, a selfless sacrifice for the good of everybody, but also having a game plan of being like, we're going to get out of this, right? Yeah. This isn't just me giving myself up and this is the end, right? There was still hope in
this
her
is just
choice.
Playing a game of strategy.
She's
and
like,
picking my next move.
We control that. Like, if they get me, we don't have a choice of, like, what happens next. Like, at least we can control some variable in this.
And then they didn't,
which, you mean, you can't control that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know that they didn't.
I know, which is, like, heartbreaking too, because she's, like, waiting for the cavalry to arrive.
So who knows what happens next, but I did like the choice and what that means of, it is being a Jedi. It's being a Jedi without actually having the Force, or being a Jedi and knowing what to do with the Force. It's understanding the situation, understanding your resources, knowing what you can and can't do, being realistic about those options. And it's just being brave and courageous, but being decisive and making a decision right there in the moment with the information you're presented with. And for a person, I don't know exactly how old Omega is at this point, 13, 14, 15, who knows? This is a great lesson to everybody. That if Omega can make this choice, we can all be selfless in our choices, and choosing this analyzing the situation around us is something we can all take from and learn from it, and that's inspiring in a way. This is an inspiring story, if you ask me. Being brave under the face of almost absolute uncertainty and darkness,
and still being brave
and seeing a light and being like, no, we can do this.
Yeah,
there is a way out. This isn't the end. This isn't it.
Yeah.
And I can save everybody too. It's like the ultimate win-win without it actually being a win in the end, because we know what happens. But she doesn't. So that's where I go with it.
Well, I can't really say anything beyond that.
Is it a yes and on your front?
Yes. The only thing I was going to say in terms of, like, in my brain, I'm manifesting that they all get out of this and they, like, go do something. Ideally for me, they would not choose the brave option and they would all go, like, hide somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I think, to me, this was a good, like, if they do get Omega back, this is, like, a good reminder to Hunter and the rest that, like, they are never safe.
They
got complacent. They got, and then it took someone else reminding them that it was easy to find them. So I'm wondering like how that memory and how this experience will shape their choices at the end of the eighth season. Cause I think it definitely will.
Settling down isn't maybe an option for them.
Yeah.
Like they thought it was. And maybe that is their choice to, I don't know, Rex. It says, join what I'm doing here.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just so curious, but yeah, she was so brave. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad for Crosshair that he lost her. I'm sad for Omega that he lost her. I'm just so relieved Wrecker's not dead.
Yes, very much on that front too. Like, and, you know, when you see him just like limp, you're hard to.
My gosh. You were like, our teddy bear, but also protector. And mm-hmm. also like, if he's okay, it's not bad. Yeah,
you
take out
the muscle. That's, you know, the hardest part.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're in the end game now.
Yeah, that's, you know, we've got 4 episodes left. We're all downhill from here. You got 2 hours left of Bad Batch. If they're all half hour episodes.
Well, now I'm upset for putting it that way.
You don't know what happens next. Maybe it's a nice bow on it and you're like, oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Star Wars. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You come back on this pod and you're like, thank you. I am satisfied.
I'm healed.
I am satisfied. Thank you guys for that. We're good. Peace out, Star Wars.
I would have never thought that she would get captured again. I don't know what
really?
I was thinking.
Interesting.
It just didn't come into my brain. So it makes me excited to see where the rest of the story goes. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, it was a different choice. So mm-hmm. let's go back to Tantus. Let's figure it out.
And that was their goal anyway. She was right about that. She's like, this is the way we can get there and enact what our real dream was, which was saving.
Oh, I knew they were always going to go back. Yeah. I just didn't know it was going to be through like Omega being captured again.
Yeah.
But did I hear correctly that the Shadow Warrior said he had pulled information out of the Trandoshan? Was that what's her face?
I think you're correct. Sid.
Sid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which led him to Fee.
Yeah.
And then from there to Pabu.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that Sid strikes back.
Who knows if she was tortured or whatever.
Well.
You think. I don't know why I keep wanting to give her a chance. She was just like so
you
fun.
You of all people are like, give Sid a chance when you're usually like, she must suffer for what she did. That's usually a staple of your.
Well, I'm not like, give Sid a chance. I just keep thinking that she's going to redeem herself, and she definitely doesn't. So.
Yeah, Star Wars is due for a person to just constantly disappoint you.
That's their whole show all the time.
No.
Well, yeah, I'm excited. Dreading and excited. I think the storytellers are doing a good job overall. Mm-hmm. Love the characters. Let's do it.
Break my heart, guys. Do it.
Do it.
I dare you. One last thing I'll say was it was really nice to see Hunter unhinged. I just like that.
Yeah, when he was throwing butt. People.
Like usually they're like, set for stun. These are our brothers. We can't do this. They just don't know. They haven't made their choice yet for them. They can't, or like, you know, he gives him a lot of benefit of the doubt, and now he's throwing him out of this.
I know.
Carrier. He's, I don't care what happens. I need to save my family. He went full Taken.
His fighting was really fast, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, the last couple of episodes, and going back to that one where we see them in the Florida Everglades, was Hunter going back to his roots.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
We're going to see probably more of that, too, when they go to Tantus. They're going to see all of them really just.
I was going to say, can't wait to see Hunter unhinged again, but like I've said that every week. So I'm just going to
enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I'm just going to enjoy the ride.
Keep enjoying the ride. Keep on living. And hopefully they do too. And thankfully, hopefully at this point in time, Pabu is still alive and well. Mm-hmm. Again, not well, but they're alive. So they can be well later on.
Yes.
Any last thoughts on this before we wrap up?
No. Bring it on.
Bring it on. That's what we say here. Bring it on. What more could you do to hurt us, Star Wars? And by that, be kind. Be gentle. I think I put that on Twitter on Tuesday before the episodes, because I knew there were 2 of them, and some people had been like teasing. Well, you guys may want to take off work for these episodes. I'm like, oh, be kind. Be good. Be good.
I doubt they will. They don't care what we think or feel.
But I think this is the last two-parter.
Okay.
So I think it's just single episodes all the way throughout. So no double goodness. So it's singles from here on out all the way through the beginning of May. So that's it, folks. We are all done with our conversation on episodes 10 and 11 of The Bad Batch here. Of course, you know where you can find us on all the social media platforms. Just search for Force Ghost Conversations and we'll be there. And thanks again for listening. We'll be back again next time next week with a brand new episode. Until then, may the Force be with you. Take care. Thank you.